Snowpocalypse brings the airlines to a standstill on the East Coast. 5 private jets are damaged when snow crushes a hangar. And a Cirrus pilot may have collided with a glider's tow line. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 8, 2010. NASA was scheduled to try again this morning to launch the shuttle Endeavour on mission STS-130. The planned Sunday morning launch at 4:39 a.m. Eastern Time was scrubbed for weather with under an hour to go. The new scheduled time is 4:14 a.m. this morning. Airline service was suspended at several East Coast airports Saturday in what President Obama dubbed Snowpocalypse. At 10 p.m. Saturday night, measured accumulations were almost 18 inches at Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, more than 32 inches at Washington Dulles, and about 25 inches at Thurgood Marshall in Baltimore. Nearly all flights out through last night were canceled by mid-afternoon yesterday. It wasn't clear by our deadline if any actually made it out. Officials at Reagan National made the decision late Sunday morning to remain closed to all operations until further notice. At Dulles, limited operations were underway yesterday, but most flights were canceled. Assume you're going to need to contact your airline for news before you leave for the airport if your flight goes anywhere near the Middle Atlantic coast. It wasn't just the airlines getting hammered by Snowpocalypse. 5 private jets were reportedly damaged when a hangar roof collapsed at Dulles. Rescuers got 5 people out of the partially collapsed structure before it completely gave way. A 24,000-square-foot hangar that collapsed later in the day at Manassas Regional Airport had no people or aircraft inside at the time, but fire officials say it did cause a significant gas leak, and the hangar has now been condemned. Authorities have identified 3 people who died in a Saturday afternoon mid-air collision near the Boulder, Colorado Municipal Airport. A Piper Pawnee, used as a tow plane by Mile High Glider of Boulder, had been used to launch a glider and collided with a Cirrus SR-20. The Boulder County Coroner's Office said yesterday that 25-year-old Alexander Howard Gilmer of Evergreen, Colorado, was the pilot of the tow plane. The Cirrus pilot was ID'd as 58-year-old Robert Matthews of Boulder, and the passenger as 56-year-old Mark Matthews of Englewood, Colorado. Official reports cited by several news organizations indicate the glider pilot released the tow line when he saw a collision was imminent and landed safely, but the other 2 planes collided and were seen trailing black smoke on their way to the ground. The Cirrus, captured on video descending under its ballistic chute, with at least 1 wing missing. Investigators are on the scene of a debris field 1.5 miles long. Watch for new details at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Eads wants yet another $2 billion to finish the A400M. Bombardier spent 2009 living almost entirely off its backlog. And Boeing lands a contract with the French military. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 8th. I'm Paul Plack. The 7 countries partnering with Eads to develop the Airbus A400M military transport recently pumped another $2.7 billion into the project to cover overruns. Now, French Defense Minister Hervé Morin says it will take another $2 billion to reach production. The revelation made to AFP News comes with word that Eads has given Airbus a 3-week deadline to reach a deal with the partners, or the project could be scrapped. Morin told reporters France will commit another 400 million euros, and he hopes the other partners will step up as well. The 7 partner countries have placed a total of 180 orders for the A400M. Here's why aircraft manufacturers and their stockholders love order backlogs. Bombardier announced on Friday that net orders for the fiscal year ending January 31st dropped to 11, down from 367 net orders the previous year. That's a drop of 97%. The good news? Deliveries dropped less than 14%, from 349 to 302 year to year. Bombardier Aerospace President Guy Hatchie says he believes that, quote, through flawless execution and by creating a loyal customer base for our products and services, we will emerge from this crisis a stronger and more efficient company, unquote. Boeing says it has landed a $324 million contract from the Electronic Systems Center at Hanscom Air Force Base in Massachusetts to upgrade France's fleet of four E-3F AWACS aircraft, as well as the fleet's ground system. According to Steve Swantz, French AWACS program manager for Boeing, quote, "This upgrade, the largest ever for French AWACS, will provide the fleet with more actionable information and better situational awareness. New mission computers also will reduce the mission operator's workload, allowing more time to be spent managing the battle space," unquote. Air France Industries will begin installation of the enhancements at its Le Bourget Airport facility near Paris in 2012. The job should be done by the third quarter of 2015. Cessna reports it has delivered five more Grand Caravans to Indonesia's Susi Air as part of an order for 30 of the single-engine turboprops announced last year. The deliveries were celebrated in a small ceremony at Cessna's exhibit during the Singapore Air Show. Cessna delivered nine new Caravans to Susi Air in 2009, with a total of 11 expected to be delivered this year and the remainder of the order by the end of 2011. Susi Air's fleet of Caravans will grow to 40 under this deal. The carrier began operations with two Caravans in December of 2006, providing scheduled and charter passenger and cargo service throughout Indonesia, as well as humanitarian airlift support for the region. Bob Gibbs, Cessna's Director of International Sales, says Susi Air now has a large portion of its Caravan fleet equipped with the latest Garmin G1000 avionics, terrain, and traffic awareness systems to improve operational capabilities and safety. Still ahead, British Airways cuts costs 10% and still loses money. An Embry-Riddle study says aviation's recession will end quickly. And skydive schools are helping in Haiti. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 8th. I'm Paul Plack. British Airways says it will post a record loss for its fiscal year ending in March, despite cutting 10.5% from its operating costs. The culprit is a 12.9% drop in revenue during the 9 months ending December 31st. Through three quarters, BA reports an operating loss of $135 million versus a profit of $139 million last year. That loss is still better than what analysts had expected. CEO Willie Walsh commented, quote, "While we're on the right track, we still expect to make record losses this year. Permanent structural change is being introduced in all areas and will return us to sustained profitability," unquote. BA is currently facing a potential strike by cabin crew, a pension deficit, stiff competition, and fluctuating fuel costs. In November, the airline announced its intent to merge with Spain's Iberia and proposed a joint venture with American Airlines, both of which could improve revenues. Many analysts say the U.S. aviation and aerospace sector faces a long, hard climb out of the recession. Not so Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. A new study by the school's Center for Aviation and Aerospace Leadership predicts that the aerospace industry will recover in 2010 and that the rate of recovery could be relatively quick. Retired Air Force Brigadier General Robert Mansfield, an aerospace executive in residence at Embry-Riddle Worldwide and co-author of the study, says it also reveals a less optimistic trend, namely the increasing use by American aircraft manufacturers of parts sourced offshore. Quote, "The vast network of U.S. manufacturers that are so critical to the production and support of both civilian and military aerospace products may be at risk if this trend continues," unquote. One unsung segment of general aviation contributing to the earthquake relief effort in Haiti is U.S. skydiving schools. Their planes are often configured with unobstructed interior space and large doors and often can operate from short or unimproved airstrips, which is a big deal with Port-au-Prince operating at capacity. Ed Scott, executive director of the U.S. Parachute Association, says that shortly after the earthquake, USPA emailed its affiliated skydiving centers that relief organizations and the U.S. government needed aircraft to bring supplies and personnel from around the U.S. to Florida for staging, as well as directly into Haiti. Several have responded with planes including a King Air, a Caravan, and more than one Twin Otter. Scott observes, quote, "It's great that the skydiving community has such valuable assets and aircraft to offer to the relief effort. With so many people looking for ways to help, skydivers are excited to have this opportunity to make a difference in the face of tragedy," unquote. And finally, James Cameron is the writer and director of Avatar, but his imagination is not limited to fiction. He also served on the NASA Advisory Council from 2003 to 2005. Cameron has contributed an op-ed in the Washington Post endorsing commercial human spaceflight and President Obama's new plan for NASA, titled The Right Way Forward on Space Exploration. It supports the shift in responsibility for taking people to low Earth orbit to private industry. Quote, "By selecting commercial solutions for transportation to the International Space Station, NASA is empowering American free enterprise to do what it does best, develop technology quickly and efficiently in a competitive environment. I applaud President Obama's bold decision for NASA to focus on building a space exploration program that can drive innovation and provide inspiration for the world. This is the path that can make our dreams in space a reality," unquote. To be fair, Cameron's dreams in space are tall, blue, have super strong bones reinforced with naturally occurring carbon fiber, are very hard to kill, and have had a really bad first experience with humans. So be careful what you wish for. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves takes on the FAA for its 200-page report that leaves unaddressed the real problem with airline pilot proficiency. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.